Section 9.3. Setting. About 1900. Four men pointing to different locations on a world map. At the meeting of the Indiana chapter of the Independent Order of the Odd Fellows, a benevolent society that purports to give aid to all mankind, we see four neighbors, friends, lifelong companions, discussing the important topic of the day, American imperialism. One is Leonard Baker, farmer, supporter of Senator Beveridge of Indiana, his home state. He is gesturing on the map to the entire world in one broad, sweeping movement. He has read the senator's statement that today we are raising more than we can consume, making more than we can use. Therefore, we must find new markets for our produce. He has wheat and corn still in the grain bins from last year, and this year's crop is ready to harvest. That surplus is driving prices down. That's not good for him. So he supports expansionism. It just makes sense to him. He thinks to himself, if God has made us master organizers of the world, then we have the duty to take up the white man's burden, to civilize, help, and instruct others less fortunate than ourselves. He sees it as his Christian duty, and he knows it is true. His farm is well organized. It runs smoothly. His livestock is well fed. His buildings are all in good repair and freshly painted. And although he has never met a person from Cuba or the Philippines or Alaska, he reads the newspapers and his farm journal and feels that President McKinley's policies, including the Platt and Teller Amendment, are right on target. If it's good for him and his family, it must be good for the whole nation. Besides, that's one of the ways we can promote our society's tenets, to help others in lesser circumstances than ourselves. Jesse Smith. He is not a farmer. You can tell by his clothes. He works in a factory in this city. He has come to the monthly meetings of the Odd Fellows to get away from the narrow-minded people and be with others like him. But now he's in the midst of a heated debate. He's disgusted with the talk that he hears on the street and what he reads in the newspapers. He and his fellow workers fear for their jobs. They argue that if the United States allows half-breed and semi-barbaric people to come here, they would work too cheaply and undercut American workers. He heard of that happening before, when the Irish flocked over, and then the Chinese. Well, he doesn't want any of it. He has a wife and four children to feed and clothe. Let those foreigners take care of themselves and stay where they're at. He works hard to pay his bills and take care of his family, and they can just do the same. He's glad to send some food and money every now and then to help the missionaries and relief societies, but for Pete's sake, don't bring the foreigners here. Password B. William Reinhold, pointing to Panama, wearing a campaign hat. He is a strong supporter of Teddy Roosevelt and his policies. He had fought with him in Cuba. He wasn't one of the Rough Riders, but anyone there knew the name and deeds of Roosevelt. Perhaps his views weren't as narrow as the others back home, because he had traveled outside the country. He had taken part in many discussions about how long it would take to get troops to the Philippines and other places around the world. Well, all he knew was that the week he spent on a ship getting to Cuba was a fabulous time. How he would love to see more parts of the world. Roosevelt has the right idea, he thinks. Build a canal to make shipping and travel easier and faster to all parts of the world. Just think! Not only would it help if we ever had to send troops to somewhere like China or Japan, but it would also help with trade. Now that's a good thing. He has become rather fond of the sweet concoctions made with sugar and exotic tastes of pineapple from Hawaii. He can only think of the advantages of free trade and expansion, and can't figure out why people are making such a fuss. After all, this is the start of a new century, a new era, a new world, and he likes the idea of being a part of something new and something old. The Odd Fellows had originated in 17th century England as an aid society to benefit all mankind. Well, wasn't this a part of it? Moving on, moving forward, being progressive. Yes, that was definitely the way to go. Our last elderly gentleman, with his head down, sad, with hands folded, contemplating. He holds the opposite opinion of Mr. Reinholdt. His name is Earl Wirtz. He's a farmer, just like our first gentleman. However, he has never traveled outside his home county and sees no need to. Everything he has is right here. Family, friends, food. His greatest fear is that the country will become stretched out too thin to be able to protect it. You see, he lost a son during the Spanish-American War. The foolish boy ran off and joined the military because he said he wanted to see something more than just what he grew up with. He wanted to free Cuba. But instead, he was sent to the far-flung land of the cannibals, the jungles of the heathen Filipinos. So he went to war and got himself killed. Not on the famous hills of San Juan, but in a stinking little village on an isolated island in nowhere. Some days, his dad thinks, serves him right. But most days, he just sadly shakes his head and thinks, imperialism means militarism, taxation, war, rumors of war, and no work. He agrees with William Jennings Bryan's statement that militarism is a necessary companion of imperialism. There's one smart man. Bryan's not looking for personal gain from expansionism, but looking to the good of the country as a whole. Sure, people claim that we got a lot of gold and other resources when we bought Alaska from Russia. But Mr. Wirtz has never seen any of it. Besides, aren't we now almost the biggest country on earth? How can any one man, like the president, make sure that we're safe, that we're taken care of, that our needs are met? Well, as far as he is concerned, we're pushing our luck as it is. Keep us small. Keep us containable. Keep us able to take care of ourselves. Forget other people in other places. Live and let live. That is his motto, and he is sticking to it, no matter what. Password 12.